Well, friends, as we're having this last series, or this last sermon in the series, Listen to Isaiah in the season of Lent. Lent goes on, of course, but we're just doing four sermons in this series. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, if you would turn there. Isaiah 55 is found on page 1056 in the Bibles provided for you, page 1056. Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, so let's go through them. Seven deadly sins. We don't do this very often. Season of Lent, though, good time for it. Time of penitence, right? Season of Lent. Pride. There you are having a discussion with someone about some topic. Things are, well, they're going along fine. They're hearing your opinion. They're nodding appropriately, and why wouldn't they? But suddenly they gently point something out to you and tell you that you have wronged them. For a brief second, you think to yourself, if someone did that to me, I would be very upset. But you shove that thought out of your mind. Instead, you refuse to admit what you did, because admitting you're wrong would wreck your obviously superior image. Congratulations, you just sinned. One of the many ways that you can sin, the sin of pride. Greed. There you are, checking your retirement nest egg for the thousandth time on those brokerage websites again. Things don't look so great right now because of that war in the Middle East, and the doorbell interrupts these thoughts. It's a couple of kids from the local church, not yours. Nervously, hello, sir. We're raising money for a mission trip to do cleanup work in a depressed neighborhood out east. You interrupt their spiel. You know what? I don't carry cash, and I only give money to my own church. Sorry. And what you don't say out loud is, man, I've worked hard for this money. I can't just give it away. I mean, what if my nest egg just tanks? Thanks for stopping by. Congratulations. You just sin one of the many ways that you can sin, the sin of greed. Lust. There you are checking your phone, and there it is, the app that has algorithmically figured you out. It knows just what buttons to press in your mind so that you press those buttons on your phone and go places you don't belong. There she is, and AI has gotten so good, you don't care if she's real or not. You just want the rush, one more time, of illicit sensual pleasure from that phone. Congratulations, you just sinned one of the many ways that you can sin, the sin of lust. Envy. There you are, passed up for the promotion at work or the scholarship at school, passed up by him, by her. It's just not right. And you dig a resentment trench around that person. They, of all people, should not be rewarded. I don't even care if I don't get it, but him or her, how could they reward them? Congratulations, you just sinned one of the many ways that you can sin the sin of envy. Gluttony. There you are, the drinks all lined up, and you want to feel good, and getting buzzed makes you feel good. Sure enough, you did it again. You got yourself drunk. There you are, trying to cancel your stress by a little binge eating. It's worked before. Congratulations. You just sinned two of the many ways that you can sin the sin of gluttony. Wrath. There you are driving. Isn't this the same guy who cut me off yesterday during my commute? I can't believe it. That's it. I'm going to give him a driving lesson he won't soon forget. This road rage is on. Congratulations. You just sin one of the many ways that you can sin the sin of wrath. Sloth. There you are, pretty gifted, well-trained, talented, and your family needs you to step up. Your wife needs you to grow up. Your son needs you to man up. Be the husband, the father, the role model you used to be. But the video games, they're calling. You get home, you eat, head to the man cave to play, and if you don't get to that important stuff, who cares? Congratulations. You just sin one of the many ways that you can sin the sin of sloth. All those examples, and so many more, we lose track. Who doesn't? God doesn't. And you know what God wants? He wants us to repent of those sins. Really? I can hardly keep track of them. I forget them as soon as I commit them. God wants me to repent? Why? What for? Is that even necessary? Beloved, today we talk about repentance. God's command to repent is found at verses 6 and 7. When God says to his people, Judah in exile, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord. He will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Those are God's repentance commands. Keep them in mind as we look at the rest of the chapter. In the first verses of the chapter, we have an invitation to the Jews in their Babylonian exile. Now, you may know Isaiah writes this well before the exile happens, before Jerusalem and the land of Judah are even taken over. He writes it 100 years before. This is truly a prophetic invitation. In the future, God will invite his people back to their land again. He will return them home from a foreign land and from an exile that hasn't even occurred yet. And did you notice how zealous the Lord is in his inviting? It is truly a passionate invitation. Look at all the commands strung through these verses. Come, 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 buy, eat, come, buy, listen, listen, eat, give ear, come, listen. The Lord is not going to give up. His invitation is passionate. Imagine getting an invitation like this for a wedding. Instead of the typical, you are cordially invited to attend the wedding ceremony of, printed in that tiny fancy font that you can barely make out, you get this invitation. There's going to be a wedding banquet, And in a giant, bold, block letters, you read, come, 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 buy, eat, come, buy, listen, listen, eat, give ear, come, listen. The Lord is talking. The Lord is inviting, and he doesn't want a zero on that invitation, that response card. No unable to attend invitation response will do. There's going to be a banquet, and with an invitation as passionate as this, you better be there. The invitation is also not simply an invitation to a banquet. The water, wine, milk, food, all that richest of fare at this banquet signifies something. Verse 3 says, give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. This is an invitation to partake of living, to partake of life, to partake of spiritual life and salvation. It is an invitation to the Jews in exile for rescue of their lives, to come back to the Lord and the promised land flowing with milk and wine, flowing with life. It's an invitation to come, return to the Lord, to listen to him once again so that they may partake in the life and the salvation nestled in the saving arms of God's everlasting covenant promises, of his unfailing kindnesses, his tender mercies, his faithful love, an invitation to partake of everlasting life and salvation from the Lord. It's also an invitation that is paid for. It's free. No strings attached. Free for those who have need, who have nothing. Come, you who have no money, come buy without money, without cost. It's paid for. An invitation. Come as you are. No cover charge, no sign-up sheet, no gift table, no see-through glass jar guilting you for cash, nothing like that. It's paid for, yours for the taking. What an invitation in these first few verses. But then we hit that repentance verse, those repentance verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 begins, well, it begins harmlessly enough, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Great. But then verse 7 hits us. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Who put that in there? Wicked people, wicked ways, unrighteous people, unrighteous thoughts. What happened to no strings attached? You just said that. You just said no strings. What happened to that? There's a rope of requirement here. Knew it was too good to be true. Stipulations, qualifications, terms of service, criteria, small print, prerequisites, condition clauses, in the small print, in the fine print. What happened to paid for? What happened to free? Repent? What for? It's not free then, is it? Repent? What for? If it's free. Before we try to tackle that what for question, let's make sure we understand some things about repentance. Three things. First, the time for repentance, it's limited. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Literally, seek the Lord while he lets himself be found. Call on him while he is near. There will come a time when it is too late for repentance, too late to seek the Lord and call upon him, too late to respond to that invitation. The time of repentance is limited. Second, the turns of repentance. There are two turns to repentance, and we get to take both of those turns. We turn from wickedness, we turn to the one God. We turn from evil, we turn to the Lord. We turn from sin, we turn to our Savior. Repentance is turning from and then turning to. It's a song in two parts. It's a duet, always a duet. And third, there is the twining of repentance. Our repentance is intimately intertwined, that is, with God's pardon. Our sincere repentance is twined together with God's forgiveness. Turn to the Lord and to our God, for He will freely pardon. God is convinced, He declares it, that the invitation to come and seek and call and buy and eat and hear and listen, that invitation to repent and receive God's pardon, that invitation, God is convinced, insists on it even, that invitation has no strings attached, it is free. God is convinced that repentance is not the tariffs are in the news today, right? It's not the tariff you pay for His mercy and His pardon, yet they are twined together. Though His forgiveness is free for us, they're still twined together. So we're right back to the question, why repent? What for? If pardon is free, what do I need to repent for? Why is it time to repent, as the sermon title so ominously urges us? Time to repent. The passage answers that question three ways in verses 8 through 13. Each answer is two verses long. Each answer starts with the Hebrew word that means for or because. Three becauses. So also three answers to our question right in a row. It's time to repent. Because, God says, number one, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Friends, that's the kind of comparison God makes when He compares the ways and thoughts of a good God with the thoughts and ways of a wicked person. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that is God above the unrighteous person. An enormous chasm is fixed between us. So repent, the voice of God calls across the chasm. Repent. You understand, don't you, that that's the real problem with our sin. It's not that sin gets us in trouble or makes our lives difficult or gives us guilt feelings or embarrasses us. Sin does do all those things, but the real problem with our sin is the place it lands us on the other side of the chasm. It lands us away from God, and we are in misery because of it. As far away from Him as the heavens are above the earth. That's the biggest problem that sin causes. So God calls across the chasm, repent, repent, repent. Repentance gradually, you see, gradually brings our thoughts, our ways, closer and closer to God's thoughts, God's ways. So we repent. We repent, that is, so we get aligned with God. To have our thoughts and ways in closer and closer alignment with God's thoughts and ways. Righteous ways, righteous thoughts, coming into alignment. I recently had a cavity at the dentist filled. That's an important thing to do. But equally important is for the dentist to make sure that afterward your bite, upper and lower choppers, are coming together well. It's just like it was before. They need to be. Same alignment. So he gets out that drill again, and he sands off a little of the excess filling. And if it's a little off, even a little bit, and your upper and lower teeth are out of alignment, you can get headaches and jaw aches and toothaches. Your neck will start to hurt. And those are just the physical things that go haywire. Psychologically, you will start to go insane. But once aligned again, you'll get your sanity back, and you can thank your dentist until you get the bill, of course. Alignment is so important with teeth, with front ends of cars, with pipes going to drains and sewers to the street, but especially with us people and our Creator, the Lord God. And repentance, like nothing else will, can adjust us into alignment with God. Why else Why else is it time to repent? Because God says, secondly, as the rain and snow come down and get the job done, so does my word filled with purpose and power. That's a paraphrase. In verses 10 and 11, we run into that beautiful comparison. God's word is compared to precipitation that comes down from heaven. Both are gifts from heaven. God's word, precipitation. The word coming down even from God's own mouth, what a gift. Both are effective. They bring life. They produce fruit. Neither of them fails. They do not return empty. They accomplish what purpose the Lord wills. And what purpose is that? God's word is a word calling for repentance. He purposefully calls us to turn from our sin and return to our Lord before that word itself returns to God. Turn from your sin, return to your Lord before that word itself returns to God. That word is filled with purpose and power. Power to plant the seeds of repentance in us. Power to make us turn from sin. Power to make us return to the Lord. That word is filled with power. Its purposes cannot be thwarted. It accomplishes what the Lord desires. We repent, that is, so that we get aligned with His word. A word that bids us repent, that shows us how to repent, that empowers us to repent. It's God's special word to us as children. When we repent, we align ourselves with His word. Why else is it time to repent? Because God says, thirdly, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands where thorns and thistles grew, now only lush trees. In verses 12 and 13, God is telling the exiles about His beautiful creation's musical accompaniment that He has in store for them when they return to Jerusalem. But also, it is a picture of, for us, the new creation. The new heavens and the new earth, the kingdom of peace, the everlasting future of joy and singing when God makes all things new. We repent, that is, so we get aligned with our future, the new creation. To get aligned with and ready for and prepared for the new heavens and the new earth, where the banquet table will be filled with the choicest of food and drink, where we will delight in the goodness of God and His faithful love. Repentance aligns us with God Himself, with God's word, and with our future that God has in store for us. And it's because of Jesus Christ that repentance aligns us in those three ways, because Jesus lives in us through His Holy Spirit. God's thoughts and ways are actually in us. We're aligned with God Himself because Jesus is God's Word, the Word made flesh. That Word transforms us, so we're aligned with God's Word. He lives in us through His Spirit. And because Jesus died and was raised from the dead in a glorious resurrection, our future is secured. We're aligned with our future, all because of Jesus and what He has done and is doing. Now, wait a minute. Is Jesus in our passage at all? Where are we getting this business about Jesus? He's in the New Testament, but where is He here? Well, did you notice verses 4 and 5 telling us about someone being a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples? That person will summon nations, and nations will come running to Him. That person can only be Jesus the Messiah, the one the Lord has endowed with splendor. How else could there even be a summons to the nations, to you? To me, how else could there even be an invitation to His glorious banquet where souls live and delight in the richest of fare? Only the ruler, the commander, the one endowed with splendor, Jesus. Because of Jesus, God freely invites, freely accepts, freely pardons, freely sends His word, freely plants the seeds of repentance, freely waters them, freely makes us repent, freely glorifies our future. No charge, without money, without cost. We buy this feast. Listen, we buy this feast, this banquet, through Jesus Christ paying the price on the cross for us. That's how we buy it. We enjoy a feast for which Jesus Christ has paid with his life. That's how we pay. Free for us. Friends, that means our repentance is not an entrance requirement. Our repentance is part of the celebration. How about that? Part of the banquet. Our daily turning from sin to God is part of the celebration. As C.S. Lewis writes, repentance is not the condition for going back to God. Repentance is going back to God. It's part of the banquet. Lewis Smedes wrote that our very feelings of repentance are signs that we're already tasting the sweet grace of forgiveness. Repentance is part of the banquet. So the question has been asked and answered then, correct? When it comes to repentance, why is it time to repent? Now you know why. But the final question is, do you? Do you repent? Do I repent of my sins? Is repentance a consistent part of my life? Am I partaking of the banquet of repentance? Is there a pattern, a spiritual discipline in my life called repentance? If there isn't, there ought to be. If there isn't, that pattern starts today. That pattern, in fact, starts right now. Because it is time to repent. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to turn from our sin to you, our God. We want to repent. We want to partake of that wonderful banquet of your forgiveness free of charge because of Jesus. And so we do. We repent. We repent of our sins of pride, that first of the deadly sins, the one that in many ways is a part of every other of the seven. When we sin that sin of pride, when we put ourselves first, we repent of that. We repent of our sins of greed. In so many ways, greed is part of our lives, our economy, our capitalism. Everything about our country in so many ways is about greed, and it infiltrates our own hearts. We get greedy and do greedy things and think greedy thoughts, so forgive us. We repent of that. We want to turn to you, for you are first in our lives. You are first. Remind us of that. And Lord, we repent of our sins of lust, again, so many ways, and so easy in our world with social media and so many algorithms checking us out daily so we can check out what those algorithms bring to us. Lord, forgive us when we sin sins of lust. We want to turn away from those and turn to you. Your offer of forgiveness. And Lord, we repent of our sins of envy. Lord, we want to turn from that sin towards you. We don't want to harbor feelings of deep resentment against others because maybe good things have happened to them that we think ought to be happening to us. And so we blame them. We resent them. Forgive us, Lord. And for sins of gluttony, again, so many ways to sin that sin, whether it is with drinks or with food, so many ways, whether it's eating a lot or eating very little, whether it's needing to feel good about ourselves because of what we do when it relates to intake. Lord, we want to turn from that sin and turn toward you. Help us. And Lord, our sin of wrath, so often we just rage. And it's not a righteous indignation. No, it's a rage against our fellow human beings that we are supposed to love. and we end up hating. So turn us from that sin too, the sin of wrath and towards you. Forgive us, we pray. And then that sin of sloth. So often we are thinking about, well, we're so busy doing so many things. We're working so hard. And yet there are times we recognize we fall into that sin of laziness, of sloth. We pray that we would turn from those sins. Help us toward you. And then you offer us forgiveness once more. That's just seven ways, Lord. We think of all the ways we sin, all the words that we say, all the thoughts that are in our minds, all the actions that we do, so many of them sinful. Help us, cause us to turn from those sins, to turn towards you in that wonderful, wonderful gift you have given us, the gift of being repentant people. And every time we turn away and then turn toward you, every time you greet us, you embrace us with a wonderful telling that, telling to us that we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. How incredible this is. We praise you. Help us to be people who recognize that we need to repent in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.